We wrote sacrifice and sanctified on the board this morning. Been thinking a little about this, but I especially feel like the Lord's given me a message for us this morning, and the Lord's been talking to me about it. And so I'd like to ask Him to make this alive to us. I was thinking first about sacrifice, and we're going to go a number of places here this morning, Lord willing. But I was thinking first about sacrifice. The first mention that I know of in the Bible, the first mention we have, is when Cain and Abel in Genesis 4 offered sacrifice. And we find in 4 and 3, it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the first things of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. He was very angry. And his countenance fell. And you know, this is the first place we have where sacrifice was offered. We find here that they both offered to the Lord. Cain offered to the Lord just like Abel did. But the Lord had no respect for Cain's offering, and he had respect for Abel's offering. And I think about Abel's sacrifice was an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord blessed him for it. And this morning, I really feel like what we're talking about here today is one of probably the most important things in our life. And the things we all long for: spiritual growth, for spiritual life, for vitality, for strength, for the blessing of the Lord, for His call. We long for the Lord to live in our life. And I want to share some things this morning. We start here with this idea of sacrifice. And so we find that they both offered. I don't know the total picture here of why, but I believe that we find Abel offering of the fat and of the firstlings of his flock. And there was blood involved. And he offered a sacrifice that the Lord saw was something he could accept. And Cain just simply did it his way. That's what the difference was. He did it his way. And you know, the Lord came down and he talked to Cain. And he said, you know, Cain, he said, the Lord said unto Cain, verse 6, why art thou wroth? Why are you angry, Cain? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. Anyway, it goes on to talk about their relationship. And so we see here that the Lord told Cain, he said, if you do well, you're going to be accepted. There's going to be a blessing. And if you don't, I'm not going to accept it. Sin lies at the door. Something of self has entered in here. And so this morning, as we look through a number of scriptures, I want us to think about the blessing of the Lord that He wants to give us, and us giving to Him that sacrifice that we're going to read a little more about in a few minutes. But first, I want to read a story, or parts of a story. In 1 Samuel 1, we find the story of one of the prophets of God that he greatly used. I love this story. I've read it many times. But here we find in verse 1 of 1 Samuel through 11, it says, now there was a man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Now we want to remember something. He was sacrificing to the Lord of hosts, to the one great God that we are so privileged to know about today, the one God of heaven. Not one, not a God, but the God of hosts. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. So here was two wives. This would be probably a situation that having two wives would bring to start with. But we find that Hannah was not able to have children, and Peninnah was. And so she made it hard on Hannah. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Now, we find here where she promised the Lord something. She said, "If you'll give me a man-child, if you'll give me a son, I will consecrate him to the Lord." And so we read on down in verse 20, and it says, "Wherefore," this is 20 through 22, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." You know, Hannah had told the Lord, "I'm going to give him to you and to your work." And this was her promise, and God honored that promise, and he gave her this son. And she, at the time appointed, we see in verse 24 through 28 then, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. You see the picture of what's going on here. Here was this one that his mother lended him, gave him to God's service from a very child. Now this is an unusual story, I know. But it goes on to say just a little more here in 2 and 11 of 1 Samuel. "And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest." You know, all the children of Israel that served God, they were God's people there. But there was something very different about Samuel. Samuel was consecrated to God's service. Samuel was the servant of the Lord. We find him here as a young boy because of that, because of his giving, being given to the work of God and given to God's will and given to him, we find God began to speak to this young man. Now, he wasn't old when God began to speak to him. He was just a child. And we find that the Lord began to tell him things. You know that all through Samuel's life, the Lord spoke to him and he gave him special visitations. And we find when it came time for Israel to have a king, and the Lord was not pleased with that, but he said, I'll give you a king because you all want a king. I'll give you a king. Well, do you know it was through Samuel that the Lord said, here's the young man I told you about yesterday. And so he began to talk to him and tell him, and I'm not sure at what point, but he anointed Saul king of Israel. And many times we find that the Lord spoke to Samuel, and he worked through Samuel in a very special way. Samuel was the Lord's. And I want to look at some scriptures this morning and ask God to open our hearts to him, that God can be real in every one of our lives. I believe that God wants to speak to all of us. I believe that God wants to be very real in all of our lives. I believe that when things come up, he wants to be able to reveal the future to us if we need it. That he can reveal truth to us when we need it. You know, people get all hung up about the future, but sometimes we need to know some things are lying out there, and God wants to reveal them to us. And so the Lord is faithful to do that. And so this morning, I'm thinking about all of us and our lives before God. This young man was consecrated to God. That means he was given to his service. He was given to God all the days of his life. And Samuel lived that way. And I love to read about Samuel. There's something intriguing about Samuel's life, all through his life, to me, that God, the way God worked through him and in him. I want to look at Romans 12, scripture we've heard so many times, but it has so much meaning. 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, Cain wasn't acceptable to God because he did it his way. He did it on his terms. He brought vegetables to the Lord. And whatever reasons the Lord said would not accept it, he gave no approval of it. But we find here that the Lord says, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice to me. That's what happened with Samuel. He was not dead. When they offered sacrifice, they slew them. And they killed them and they offered them to God. But Samuel's life was a living life. It was a living sacrifice to the Lord. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to take our lives while we're alive. Not when we get to the end, but while we're alive. And he wants it to become a living sacrifice unto God, unto his will, unto his word, unto his truths, unto his ways, unto his pattern for our life. The Lord wants me and you to be a living sacrifice for him. And it goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, sometimes I think we start working right there. I don't want to do this. I think this will displease God. Is this right? Is this something little? Is this wrong? And we forget that really what God is wanting will take care of all of that stuff. Because when we become a living sacrifice to the will of God, then all those things are just things we seek out. Lord, what is your will? And we begin to search for the will of God and search for what God wants in our life. And so I'm thinking this morning about that being our part. of the bargain. Our part is that we present ourselves a living sacrifice, but that is not where it stops. This morning, I want to encourage every one of us that our lives must be a living sacrifice to God. It's the only way it works. It is the only sacrifice that God will smell in and put His approval and His presence upon your life this morning. And so let's look at Ephesians 1 and 13. And it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed." You know, the Lord, sometimes I think people don't realize there is a fullness to salvation. There is a fullness in the things of God. The Lord told His disciples about the Holy Spirit. He said, "He is with you." He's with you. Isn't that a blessing when the Holy Spirit is with us? But He said something deeper. "He shall be in you." Do you know that when the Holy Spirit of God dwells within the heart of a man, within the life, and His holy presence comes down and takes and lives within our body, in our spirit? Do you know that who could take the holy presence of God and not be so totally changed by it? Whose life could just continue on as it was yesterday when the Holy Spirit of God comes in? And so we find here it says, "After that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now, you know what? The word "sealed," it indicates a stamp. We call it today notarizing something many times. I've got a little stamp, and sometimes the school has a stamp, and notaries have a stamp. And you know, they press that thing. Now, sometimes now they just do it with ink. But they press that thing. And what it means is, this is sealed. This is authentic. This is accepted. This comes from this business or this person. Do you know that the Lord wants to seal our lives? What we do is we give our lives to Him. We take our hands off and make our lives a living sacrifice. Now, I want to tell you, that's a little scary sometimes to people, isn't it? It was scary in some ways for me, because who wants to just give the reins to someone else? But I want to tell you, when you give the reins to God, He's the one that made us. He's the one that wants to take our lives and bless it like He did Samuel's life. Oh, what better thing could we do than to give ourselves without any reserves to God? And so this morning, our part is to do that, and His is to give us that stamp, that seal. That seal is the Holy Spirit. That is not something we can do in a state of sin. But as we repent of our sins, And then we begin, then we are forgiven. What a wonderful thing. And the Holy Spirit is with us, and He's there to help us. But I want to tell you, God wants us then. I don't think it's possible for us to really make those kind of consecrations until the Lord deals with us. I believe it should happen soon after we are saved. But do you know that the Lord wants us to go on then, and to present ourselves to Him, and to call upon His name, and to give ourselves. And then it is His work to seal us with the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Spirit comes into a life, that life changes. There is power. The Lord said that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, He told His disciples, He said, "You shall receive power, and you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all the world." I don't remember the exact wording. I think I have that scripture here. That's in Acts 1 and 8. We'll just read that. He said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. That's the last thing he said. He said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Your life's going to change. All of a sudden, the Lord started speaking to Samuel. Samuel's life changed when he was there as God's man. God's will was upon him. Now, I know Samuel didn't have this just like we do necessarily. But I will tell you, the Lord wants us to have something in here more than just forgiven. He wants to live within our heart. Not just be around us and with us and try to urge us through other people and something in here. But the Lord wants to burn within. He wants there to be a fire of the Holy Ghost within our life that is life-changing. That is when the Lord can begin to gift people. That's when He can give gifts unto men. That's when the Lord can begin to do His work. That's when things can get exciting. Is when the Spirit of God has full control. And when He's living in our life and in our heart. And the Spirit of God begins to move upon us. I want to tell you, when the Spirit of God moves, when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, things happened, didn't it? And when the Spirit of God begins to live in a life and move in a life, things change. Things happen. That's His part. Our part. Present ourselves as a living sacrifice. His part. You are sealed with the Holy Ghost in your life. That's His part. And He begins to do some things in us. As we do that, that's the stamp of authenticity. That's the stamp of the Lord upon our lives. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, I want to go a number of places here by the help of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Do you know what an ambassador is? They are somewhere representing someone else or something else. That's what an ambassador basically is. "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." That was the scripture I wanted. And so we see through the many scriptures that our life changes from self-centered to completely the will of God. This is pretty simple stuff, really. I know we're reading a number of scriptures, but the thing that we do is we take our hands off of our life and give it completely to God and be willing to take His way and His counsel and His direction. And if He says move, we move. And if He doesn't control every little aspect. We eat when we feel like eating, don't we? He doesn't control every little aspect like that, but He wants the reins of our heart. The things, the places we go, the things we do, how we appear, how we dress ourselves, where we live, our occupation. The Lord wants some input in those things this morning. And so we begin to follow Him in that way. And our life becomes, instead of self-centered, we become an ambassador for Christ. And our life changes focus from ourselves to something totally different. In John 16:12, we find here where the Lord said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them." 16:12, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come," He was talking about this Holy Spirit this morning, "when He has come, He will guide you into all truth." Do you know why there's thousands of religions today? Because everybody's doing it their way. Do you know that there are hundreds and hundreds of interpretations of the Scripture this morning? Maybe thousands of interpretations, I don't know. But do you know this morning that there is only one truth? What God spoke and what He meant is what He said. That's why we value, folks, that's why we value that we have the Spirit of God dwelling within our heart and life. He dwells there, and He is a revealer of His truth. That's why we can have some confidence. People say, well, who do you think you are? Everybody has their own opinion. You're right, they do. But the ones that have the Spirit of God dwelling in their life, in their heart, He will begin to reveal truth to. And they will begin to see one thing after another debunked until you see what God Himself has to say. And so this morning, the Spirit of God is so important in our life. It is so life-changing. For me, it was so life-changing. And I know not everybody feels it that way at the very moment that the Spirit of God comes into your heart. But I want to tell you something. He will change your life dramatically. The things you do, the places you go, the people you see, the intentions of your heart, the Lord Himself begins to show us and begins to change us. This is where the excitement begins. This is where, when the day of Pentecost came and all that happened and the Spirit of God came down upon those people, the excitement began. That's where things began to change. That's where lives all of a sudden were filled with fire from heaven. The Word of God burned in their heart. Do you know the Lord wants to burn in our heart this morning? One of the old prophets, he got so discouraged by all the persecution that he finally said, I'm not going to speak anymore in the name of the Lord. I'm tired. And do you know that it wasn't long till, says the Word of the Lord, it burned in his heart. He couldn't. Do you know God wants to burn in our heart this morning? I just want to challenge us to know the Lord and to let Him have that place in our life. This is where true life begins in the Lord. This is where true revelation really begins. Sure, we can have revelation before we're sanctified, before we're filled with the Holy Ghost. But I will tell you, it's with us. But He said it's going to be in you. It's going to be very different. You're going to receive power. He's going to guide you into all truth. That's why we have confidence. How can we say we have the truth? How can we say we have truth? Because He said the Holy Ghost was going to guide us into all truth. And that's what He does this morning. So I just want to encourage us that God, folks, God has some good things for us in this life. I thank God for it so much this morning. In Acts 15 and 8 and 9, there are many things that come by the Spirit of the Lord. And it says here, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Do you know there is a purifying that the Holy Ghost wants to do in our heart by the Holy Ghost? See, our part is to present ourselves. We can't do all of that. We can't know the voice of the Lord. We can't understand all of those things, but we can give ourselves to Him, and then it's His job to do the work of sanctification. It is His job to begin to teach us truth. It is His job to begin to purify us. And there is an instant purification, I believe, and then there is an ongoing thing where we realize more and more the will of God, and we cast things out, and our life becomes more and more like the Lord wants to give us this morning. Oh, the Holy Spirit has so much. I want to read over in Acts 8 and 5, another place here. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And we drop on down to verse 12 because it's not necessary for the context to read all the scriptures between. Verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Folks, salvation is a full thing. It's a full plan. And part of it is baptism. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved, the scripture says. It is important for us that salvation, that repentance, that belief in the Lord, that baptism, is part of our experience in the Lord. But let's read on about these new converts that we find down there. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now here was the disciples heard, hey, they got saved over there at Samaria. They had a revival and things happen. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. He was with them. Of course he was, but he wanted to live in them. He wanted to seal their lives by the Spirit of God. And so these brethren came down and spoke to them the word of God. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Do you know that their lives, I can tell you, it changed. Their lives changed. God, the holy God of heaven, with reverence, I say that name. I say that one Jehovah, our Father, our God, the one that has all power in heaven and earth. He came to dwell in their hearts by faith. He came to purify their hearts. He came to cleanse them and to raise their lives into His image and to use them. And you see how the apostles' lives changed so dramatically. They changed from one that the Lord was always trying to talk them out of the things they were getting off on. You know, we can't always judge one another because people get off on little tangents and, hey, you know, let's don't do that. You know what? The Spirit of God wants to live in our heart and lead us in His paths. And He wants it to be something that is very powerful in our lives this morning. Right there in public. Well, we'll drop on down. I won't read that in Acts 2. We know that story, most of us, how the Holy Ghost was poured out upon the people there. And we find that right there in public, men and women became so changed that they all began to proclaim the wonderful works of God. That's what it says. All of them did. All of them began to tell. Their heart was so full. How could they not? It was full. And God had done that. You know, I have seen the Holy Spirit and its work in lives. I was praying with a young brother one time, and he was having a hard time. And he had prayed before, and he was praying with another minister, and finally they came, and we agreed together and began to pray, and he began to call upon God. Lord, I want to be sanctified. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I want to know it. Do you know that God met him there that night? I remember when it happened, and his life has been different ever since. God's been using him. It's a beauty to see. And I remember in my life how it was. I remember, and I wasn't with anybody. I wasn't even among the saints right at the moment. I had just started coming this way, just enough to realize what was there, and began to fast and pray and call upon God. And I will tell you, he met me one night, and he so filled my soul. Until I will say, this is my experience, and yours probably won't be just like this. Some people take it by faith, and they actually have it. But I will tell you, the Lord gave me something I could not deny. For 3 days, I felt like I was almost in heaven, or almost heaven was in me. I'll tell you that for sure. And it was wonderful. It changed my life, and I've been changed ever since. And that was 1979. I thank God this morning. The Lord has something for us, folks, that I know is very powerful. And so, yes, I am putting it way up there because it is. I believe that. It's not something that does away with all of our trials. I've suffered many temptations. I've suffered trials. I've suffered places where I didn't do as well as I wanted to do, and I had to go back and say, Lord, you're going to have to help me to be stronger here. I have seen those times, but I want to tell you something. I have known the power of God, His leading, His calling, His giving gifts in our lives. The Lord wants to use your lives here today. I never dreamed, and I'm not boasting about this for sure, but I never dreamed, I never even thought of being a preacher or something like that. I don't know what God has in mind for you, but there's many gifts. He gives gifts unto men, and not nearly all of them are preaching. But I will tell you this, He wants to gift our lives. He wants your life to have value, meaning, and purpose, and be effectual. And the Lord wants to do that for us today. And so this morning, the Lord help us to give ourselves to God and to allow Him that place. I never knew God was so real. I never knew anything of it, to tell you the truth. My life consisted of just battles and just failures and all of those things. But I want to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit came, it changed my life completely. And I thank God for that this morning. In Acts 19 and 1 and 2, it says here, and it came to pass, Acts 19 and 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not heard, so much as heard, whether there be any Holy Ghost. Paul asked them that, not knowing what they knew of the Lord. These were disciples of John. But do you know that Paul wanted to be sure that these disciples knew about and were filled with the Holy Ghost? And so then we find that a very interesting story. I want to ask us this morning, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's a vital part of your salvation and mine. You cannot sanctify yourself in the sense that you cannot seal yourself and fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. But you can give yourself to God. You can give all your ways to God, your future to God, the things that you are, His willingness to use your vessel in any way He wants to. You can do that. You can give your truths to God. Lord, you tell me the truth and I'll live in it to the best of my ability. Do you know that He wants to talk with us and He wants to do something very special in our lives this morning? In 2 Timothy 2 and 21, we have just a little more here. 2 Timothy 2, 21. It says here, If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Do you know that the Lord wants us to purge our lives from wrong things, to present ourselves as a vessel to God, and give ourselves to Him as a vessel? This here's a vessel, if you want to call it that. I can take that water out or pour it in or use it however I want to. It's mine to use. I can have it that way. That's the way our life is to be with God. And I will tell you, when you do that with the Lord, and you search for Him with all of your heart, and give yourself to God without any strings attached. Lord, whatever you show me, I'm going to seek your will, and I want to know your will. And I will follow you by the grace of God. And when we take the hands off like that, it says here that we will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I want to enlarge on that word sanctified a little bit. There's several uses of the word sanctified and in the scripture, but this kind of contains a lot about that word. And so I looked it up in the Greek. And it says, Strong says to make holy, that is ceremonially purify or consecrate, mentally to venerate, hallow, be holy, or sanctify. And so the word hallow It means this: to make holy, to consecrate, to set apart for holy or religious use. Folks, our life has to be set apart for God's use. That has to be the central issue of our life. Lord, what is your will in my life? And I will tell you something. When that becomes your driving force, you think God's not going to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? When that becomes the driving force of my life, Lord, I want you to take my life, and I'm setting it apart for your use. And do you think God makes mistakes? Do you think God would put on us something we couldn't do or that would be less for us in our life? I want to tell you, you want interesting life, an interesting life? You want challenge? You want purpose? You want... God has plenty of it for us this morning. To devote to holy or religious exercises, to treat as sacred. The word sanctify, in a general sense, to cleanse, purify, or make holy. See, these are things God does. What we do, we give Him ourself. We take our hands off. We search for Him. We long for Him. God does the sanctifying. To separate, set apart, or appoint to a holy, sacred, or religious use. Holy means properly whole, entire, or perfect in a moral sense. It doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean you're not going to be disappointed sometimes with yourself. But folks, we don't have to step aside to sin anymore. God wants to give us that, and only He can do that this morning. It's not within man that walketh. Hence, pure in heart, temper or dispositions, free from sin and sinful affections. I want to read one more scripture this morning, set of scriptures in 1 Corinthians 12, starting at 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Do you know that when God set the members in this body, He did it just like He wanted to. And it works perfectly. It works amazingly when it's in health. Do you know this morning, God wants to do that with His people. He has a body, and He wants your life to be an integral part of the work of God. That can only really happen. He can bless people. He can use people before they are filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you something. He gifts us with gifts of the Holy Ghost after we are sanctified. And that's the way His church is built. And then He calls people to different works, and He uses their life. And believe me, I believe it is the only way, the best way, that we can live life this morning. I think of it like this. God is the overseer. We would think of a company, and here would be all these people, and they would see the president, whoever, begin to look for those that he could put in special places. You know what? This one I can use over here. It'll work well. Do you know that God knows you and me? And He isn't going to place us. He don't make any mistakes. He isn't going to place us in a place that's not for the very best. He's not going to place us in a place that we cannot do. God will not do that. And so He sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. He's not partial. And His plan, what He does, works perfectly. And so this morning, I want to ask us this morning, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? The Lord wants to fill you and be in your life. And I just say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, how He longs to bless His people. Pray for me.